Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keith. Pure Hoops with Terp, Justin Turpin, WEEI, every Wednesday here on the show. Terp, what's up? You were in the house in Brooklyn, right?
I was. Do I have to start with another apology or a statement towards Josh Jacobs, his family, his fans?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you should apologize
anyone
to them,
that
actually.
Associated with Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, you might want to say something.
We saw it
idea.
Coming. We saw it coming.
We sadly did.
It should have been a warning
did.
Shot.
You should apologize to Keith for killing his fantasy team over there.
I'm sorry.
Up in smoke now.
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
That is on you.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about the Brooklyn win last night. Maybe we should rework the Jones and Keith NBA standings, Keith.
What's the formula for that?
I have the Celtics right now at 8-7. Last night would qualify as what we would determine a fake win or a bad win. And they were losing to the Nets with 9 minutes to go. I don't know. That's underwhelming. I thought they were going to mop the floor with that team last night. That's not what happened.
Yeah, you can't turn the ball over 20 times. I think it was over 21% of Brooklyn's points came from Boston turnovers. You give that amount of turnovers to any team, they're going to have a chance. And that's what they saw last night. It also helped that Brooklyn was making threes in the first half. But they did turn it around. And I guess the one positive I would take from it is it took a little bit from everybody. Like Sam Hauser only played 8 minutes the other night against the Clippers. He came up with a big steal, sparked a big run, 18-3 to close the game. Jaylen Brown, the turnovers were an issue, but he scored 17 points in the third quarter. Peyton Pritchard in the first half. Guys like Baylor Shireman coming in. So you've really got a little bit of everything or a little bit of something from everybody. And I think that is a positive you can take from it.
What did you think of Jaylen Brown, though, in the first half, and then Mazzulla deciding to sit him down?
Yeah, I just don't think you can play him in the state of New York anymore. Eight turnovers against the Knicks, seven against Brooklyn.
Brutal.
I mean, that's probably about a third of his turnovers to come in New York. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what it is about going to that state and his turnovers, but you can't have that. Like, the turnovers he had, and, you know, he admitted to it after. He said he was playing poorly, and that's why Joe Mazzulla got away from him. And I think he does set that standard, Joe does, and, you know, holding these guys to the highest, you know, standard that they can play. And that's why he only played 10 minutes yesterday. So, I mean, the turnovers have been an issue at times. In the grand scheme of things, though, it is kind of inflated by those two New York games. Like, yeah, he's still towards the top of the league, but he's behind guys like Giannis, behind guys like Luka and James Harden, Stephon Castle. It's just when you have the ball in your hands that much, like, you're inevitably going to turn the ball over. But for the most part, I don't think it's been as bad as it may look.
So Nick came in and was giving us some stats, and I forget the Devin Booker piece to this, but Jaylen Brown has 53 turnovers and 61 assists this year.
Ugh.
Like, that's...
Yeah, it's second to Devin Booker.
Second most turnovers?
Yeah, Devin Booker has 57. But he also has 103 assists to Jaylen
Brown.
Right,
so a much better ratio.
Every year, by the way, the best players have the most turnovers. Yeah. Just they have the ball all the time. However, they usually make up for it with...
Well, this... You know. I mean, not to compare him to Mac Jones, but, like, this used to be my thing with Mac Jones. If Mac Jones is going to turn it over, you got to make some plays.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of turnovers for not a lot of...
Correct.
You know, helping out his teammates and not a lot of assists. And you can say they've missed shots, and they have, but that, I mean, how do we defend 61 assists against 53 turnovers?
I do think the turnovers, or the assists rather, will start to go up because you just mentioned it. They have missed shots. And the thing is with Jaylen,
they made a bunch of shots last night. He had four assists.
Right, but the thing is with Jaylen's assist, for the most part, is driving kicks. So he needs those guys to cash in on those makes, and they haven't been making them. So I do think those will start to trickle up against Memphis. Two games ago now, he had a season high six. Like, that's going to start to go up as they start to make shots.
But I thought, without Tatum and the ball in his hands more, I thought he might, like, average six. And
I thought his rebounds and assists would go up.
Me too.
I thought both would go up. They really haven't. And just to be fair to Jaylen Brown, Nick's right about, like, the total turnovers. If you go to turnovers per game, he's played more games than other guys. He's 10th. So it's, like, a little bit more, you know,
in line.
Palpable, I guess. But, yeah, it hasn't been great for him. But overall, his season, would you say, has been like what you expected, or has it been disappointing?
I think he's been an all-NBA player this season. I really do. I mean, what he's been doing on both ends of the floor, he's averaging, what, I think he's top five in total points this year. His rebounding has been good. Like, the defense has been good. I think he's given them all that he's can. He's given them a chance to win every night. And what he's doing from the mid-range is incredible. Like, yeah, he's been one of the best mid-range shooters in the league. Been getting downhill, really, you know, driving that effort to get out and run. He's done a great job with that. So I think he's been an all-NBA player this year.
So if he's an all-NBA player, why are they only 8-7?
I think a lot of that comes down to what we talked about at the beginning with the schedule, and guys around him weren't making shots at first, and he hasn't been perfect, right? We just talked about it.
The turnovers are bad. Yeah, I would say that's a problem.
He has been far from perfect, but like, now they're starting to put it together where they weren't making shots at the beginning of the year. They obviously, we talked about the schedule that they saw. Like, now they're starting to piece it a little bit together, and I do wonder a little bit, like, now that they are starting to make those shots and we're starting to see that turnaround, does something else pop up that, like, maybe there is another hole in their armor here? And I don't think it is the turnovers because they've been so good at taking care of the ball. They entered last night.
Last night for the team was an outlier. I agree. Yeah. The 19 turnovers was an outlier for the team. They're not outliers for him, but they're an outlier for the team. Yeah.
But I wonder if there is something else that pops up. Like, the defense has been, I think, to everyone's standards, been kind of overachieving. They're top 10 right now in defensive rating. Like, who would have expected that? Mm-hmm. Like, especially with the front court that they have. So I do wonder, now that the shooting is coming around, if there is something that pops up.
You know, I mean, it's still a lot of season to shake itself out, and they could be a playoff team. I just feel like, going back to like the all-NBA stuff, like, part of it with those guys is the win stat too, right?
Usually.
Because last year, just doing a quick look at it, I think all 15 guys that were all-NBA were on playoff teams, right? Like, I think they were all in the playoffs. Sometimes that's where you get like multiple guys, even, because you're just rewarding the really good teams. So that's going to be the next thing that sort of has to happen, because if they're not in the top six, I don't know, the stats can be great, but it's hard to say you're really one of those guys. Like, you need to be able to lead your team, even though I know the talent's not what it used to be. The surrounding pieces aren't what it used to be, but you need to be able to raise the level of everybody else.
I'm not at all saying they're going to finish there, but they're two games back of the two seed, which
is
it's
congested right now.
Like,
it's
that's
super congested.
That's how congested the Eastern Conference is. And I still think I am where I was at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
Where they're going to be they're going to make the playoffs as like a 6 or 7 seed. I think that's where you kind of look at them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just the Eastern Conference is so compact right now. And that changes, obviously, with any kind of injury. This team cannot afford an injury like to any of those top guys. And if they do, then, you know, this team looks a lot differently. But I really do think they're still kind of finishing there if they can stay healthy.
Text line is saying they lost to Utah Terp. I don't want to hear about the schedule. I saw on the Twitch chat a Justin Razor Turpin mentioned Twitch chat.
Well, Terp hasn't quit the show yet.
No, well,
so
not yet.
You can't say that.
Not yet.
Yeah.
But they think you're being a little too rosy on the Celtics. I would say there's a big difference between 6 and 7. Like, if you're in that top six, you're not messing around with a play-in game. And that, to me, would meet the expectations coming into the year. My expectations remain there. You just said you think there'll be a team right on the cusp of that play-in. Like, where should we draw the line for what is a successful year with this team?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough. I think probably, like, when we were looking at it at the beginning of the year, it was right around 500, right? That's kind of where you were looking at. That's kind of what you were hoping for. And they're turning it around. I mean, that's for sure. You look at it like, what, they won 8 of their last 12 after a slow start. Again, they're top 10 in offensive, defensive, and net rating. A lot of that has to do with the blowouts, and
well,
it's a smaller sample size.
And a lot of it, too, if we're going to play the schedule game, like if they started with a harder schedule and they're starting to win more games, look who they're winning some of them against, right? Like that,
right.
That aids in that as well. But no, I would agree they're largely playing better, although I didn't think they played great at all last night. They won,
no,
but I didn't think they
all
played great.
No, they weren't great at all. And again, like, you have 20 turnovers, like, you're going to give any team a chance to win. And the interesting thing is with Brooklyn, though, is like, they played them hard all of last year, too. I think all their games against Brooklyn last year were decided by two possessions. Like, for whatever reason, that's a team that's given them trouble, even in past iterations. But that's not a pass for last night. Like, they were not
night. No, no. I mean, that's a horrible Nets team. Like, looking at their roster, I mean, like, this is who they start? Like, what is
that? Was
this
one
team?
Of the things that stuck out to me. It's like, you're not going to out-tank teams like
that.
No,
you can't. Like, there's just two. There's like 5 to 6 teams that are just
the
so
Wizards
bad.
And the Nets,
Pacers.
And teams like that. Yeah, you're not. Yeah, the Pacers without Halliburton. Like, at least you've been representative without Tatum. I mean,
true.
They're one of the worst teams in the league without Halliburton.
You just
that's
can't
true.
Out-tank those teams. And Brooklyn's one of them. Like, and I guess it the way the Celtics turned it around in the fourth quarter, held them to 14 points, got back to their defense, was able to make some shots. Like, that's encouraging. But, like, all in all, that game was not pretty last night. It wasn't necessarily encouraging, but you know, they're just not going to out-tank them. That was one of my takeaways from that.
Seems like there's been, like, I don't know if it's like an audition or just, you know, that fifth starter seems to be still, Missoula's trying to figure out between, you know, the lawnmower, Josh Minot, or Jordan Walsh. Who do you think has the upper hand right now?
I wouldn't be surprised at all if Jordan Walsh doesn't start Friday night. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just been so fluid. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Baylor Shireman gets a shot, or even Hugo Gonzalez, who's been a DNP.
Let me tell
DNP.
You, with him real quick.
Which one?
Shireman.
Yeah.
Shireman actually not terrible on defense. Like, I thought the book on him was going to be he was going to come in just and be shoot. A sniper, yeah. And might not play well on defense. He's got more size than I guess thought, and he's a better defender than I expected, which I guess has stood out in the minutes that he's played.
Yeah, I didn't look at it this morning, but entering last night, he was holding opponents to more than 10% less than what they're expected to shoot when he's defending them. Mm. And he's been really active defensively with his steals. Like, I think his defensive pressure has been great, and he's earned more minutes. He's quietly kind of trickling up in minutes. And it's like he's gotten close to 20 in the last couple games. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a shot as well. It's been fluid. Like, it's whoever shows up on that given night. And Joe praised the depth going into the year, that he really believed they were a deep team. And I guess this is what he meant. Like, they have so many wings that can go and contribute. And, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a start. Like, if Jordan Walsh isn't back in the lineup on Friday night starting.
And getting any better for Simons? I mean, I feel like he had a good first half last night, and then it was kind of real quiet after that.
The minutes were at least up. Like, he was way down the game before
that. He played 26 minutes, which I guess I'll take, but he only took 4 shots. Like, what? You know, like, got to the free throw line a little bit, but I don't know. I expect more out of him, but maybe it's just a fit thing.
It's right. Like, he's got the invisibility cloak in the second half there. He did a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah,
in that
really.
Half.
And not, he didn't know he was out there.
In the first half, I was like, he kind of needed a game like this.
Yeah.
He needed to see shots go in, kind of, you know, be able to facilitate the offense. I doubt he did a great job passing the ball in the first half as well, but in the second half, really didn't do anything. He just doesn't look comfortable.
It and does not seem like a fit.
It feels like we're back to the Derek White, Marcus Smart, and Malcolm Brogdon trio here, where there's just too much of a logjam that can't necessarily coexist. And for Simon, it's like, what are they going to do? Like, when Peyton Pritchard and Derek White are playing as well as they are, there's just really no room for him. It
feels
just
like he is
going to
get traded.
It does.
You know, it felt like it. With the second they got him,
what are you going to get for him now, though?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
like, he doesn't have a contract.
Salary cap relief.
He's a bench player.
They do value
and he's
those
not
second round
well.
Picks.
Yeah, I mean,
they get all the second round.
I thought he was a good return for Holiday because I thought you really had no leverage with Holiday. So I thought Brad did pretty well with that trade. I mean, he's going to have no trade value other than an expiring deal. He's going to have no value.
And he's the one other. Oh, we were talking about this earlier, Terp. One of the old guys that they let go. He's the only one actually playing well. Jrue Holiday.
Yeah.
Like,
he's been
Horford
great.
Stinks and Porzingis is hurt again. So I thought Holiday might be more on the backside of his career than maybe the other guys are, but at least he's been playing pretty well for Portland.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. And I bet to the Simon thing, it is just kind of interesting because I do think there could still be some value for him because teams are always looking for a shooter at the deadline.
Yeah, yeah, and he could do that.
And he's still top 10 in made threes this season in a limited role, and we're talking about how he hasn't been great, and he's still making
those
shots.
Yeah, but what are we talking about? Are we really talking about second-round picks? Or, like, I don't even...
Probably second-round picks.
Right, but that's nothing. Like, no, I mean, that's not... I'm not saying teams won't want him, but, like, that's nothing. You know what I mean?
It is. It's nothing like we expected with him. Like, you know, you expected him to come in and possibly even start. Like, you know,
I wanted him to start the whole time.
Last time you were on last week, we were talking about getting the starting lineup and getting Pritchard out.
Doesn't
so
that's happening.
No, I mean, it's gone completely the opposite way since the last time we talked to you on that. Let me ask you this: you ever seen anybody run the way Luka Garza runs? I noticed this when I was in the house on Wednesday, upgraded seats, Bragg.
Wow, that is nice.
And I noticed him running in person more than I notice it on TV. But now that I've seen it, I notice it more watching the games on TV. I've heard other Celtics fan buddy of mine bring this up: his weird running. Like, how
he's got a strange gait.
I mean, it is. And it's so slow. I'm not sure I've ever seen anybody run like Luka Garza.
You want to hear a ridiculous stat?
Yeah. Yes, of course. Yeah,
Luka Garza.
Hey, stat of the week nominee.
Ears open. Stat of the week back there. Yeah.
So this is the NBA tracking, which, again, we've been very clear is far from perfect.
His player tracking has to be like 1 mile an hour.
He has the highest average speed on the Celtics.
No way.
Wait a minute.
No
Luka
way.
Garza.
So he just goes full go.
No, has the highest average speed.
No, but that makes sense. No, he never walks. Everybody else will walk. They'll occasionally walk.
He's average speed.
Average speed.
He never stops.
He doesn't have a low speed. He's just always going. He's not fast.
You know what I think it is?
His arms are moving so much. Yeah, I've never seen someone's arms move like that when they run. I've never seen it.
I think it's because he's a big man, and he has the longest run. Yeah. Obviously, he's under the
He's
rim,
running further.
So he has to run further. So I think that might be it.
But like,
I saw that the other day.
Kata has to run equal amounts of distance, and like, I have to imagine he does it faster than Luka Garza.
I saw that the other day. I was like, that just can't be true.
That might be the stat of the week. I've never seen a human run like that.
It's on the short list
arms.
Right now.
It's all arms. Yeah. And it's going not quickly, although I guess I guess it's faster than I thought.
He's not bad, though. Like, he's been decent. You know, because
I like him as a player. I've never seen anybody run like that.
How do you think Brad Stevens has done overall now that we've seen all these guys that he acquired? Because we all know he was forced to dump salary. So he didn't go into the year being like, these are the four or five guys that I want. But based on what he was asked to do, how do you think he did?
I mean, you're finding some hits, which I think is a positive. Like Josh Minot looks like a guy who can contribute to the next iteration. Nemish Keita, I know he was already here, you know, he's looking like somebody that can contribute to the next iteration. Jordan Walsh as well. Hugo Gonzalez. So you're looking down the line. It's like there has been moments from everybody on this team. Guys like Chris Boucher, not really. Anthony Simons, not really. But you take that Anthony Simons deal again if you're Brad Stevens. Like you have a chance to bring this guy in, at least give him an audition, see how he fits. You do that again. So all in all, I think it's been pretty good.
Would be like as we look even further down the road, it can't just be, hey, we get Tatum back and then we'll see what it is. And I'm not talking about for this season. I'm saying for next season. Like what else would have to happen to get it back to where it was?
You got to spend money in the offseason. Yeah. You got to hit in the draft.
Yeah,
especially if they're picking kind of middle to the beginning of the first round. You have to spend and you have to hit those draft picks. So you're not really relying on these guys to come in and start on
iteration. Like, don't you feel like with the contracts that are now in place in the NBA, and specifically on this team, Brown, Tatum, White, like what more can you really do? Isn't that it? Don't you basically sink or swim with those three guys based on the contracts that they have?
Maybe you try to cash in that white chip
I mean, next season, so even let's call this season as far as Tatum's concerned a wash. Next season, it's $58 million for Tatum, $57 million for Brown, $30 million for White. What else are you putting around that?
Yeah, well, you're not signing it free agency. You got to go out there and make trades.
I know.
This owner has no appetite to add to salary, at least initially. So let's see. All I'd say on the Stevens thing, like I like some of the findings like Minot, but right now he's built a roster that doesn't fit and really has nothing in the front court and too many point guards battling it out for like, or too many small guards.
Too many wings.
Battling it out for too many spots.
This felt more like a Danny Ainge. Let me get the talent and then you guys figure it out.
Here's all I'd say on Brad. And some of the pieces he's found look like they can play. Minot's a good example. Maybe Garza's a good example. It's a year where Joe Mazzulla feels like he's been exposed to this point in time. Same thing with some of the players we've talked about. Pritchard, White, certainly Jaylen Brown is a true number one. I mean, I'm not putting Brad on that list yet, but I want to watch and see where it goes with the roster. Because right now he's built a roster that really doesn't make a ton of sense. I know his hand was forced by ownership and the Tatum injury. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that there were challenges there. But he also needs to build a basketball roster in the meantime, and I'm looking at a roster that doesn't fit and that is underachieved.
Do you think Joe's been exposed this year? I mean, the way that we're talking about the roster.
Yeah, I didn't think he would, but I think right now, I didn't think they'd be barely beating Brooklyn to get over 500 for the first time 15 games into the year.
I do think just the way that we're talking about this roster, and for them to be in the top 10 in offense and defense and net rating,
but they have a guy
that's a little bit different.
They have a guy that you think is all NBA and two other, you know, quality starters.
You got the sixth man of the year. You got another guy who's on the Olympic team that should be an all-star.
So I do. I mean, look, if it changes, then we'll change our opinion. But right now through 15 games, do I think Mazzulla's been exposed? Yeah. He didn't change. They don't change how they played with completely different personnel. They play the exact
same
way.
They've completely changed how they play.
Not offensively.
Defensively, they have. They've taken more threes more twos than threes in the majority of their game. They've completely changed the way they play.
But they're still leading the NBA last check. I mean, let me see where this is at now.
44 threes a game.
They're still jacking up more threes than anybody else. So, I mean, maybe they've tweaked it a little bit to more twos than threes. I mean, I'd call that a minor victory. That's like a minor leveling
out. But
that's also jacking up a million threes.
But with Jaylen Brown now being your leading scorer, I think that was also going to happen. And there are nights where he takes plenty of threes, don't get me wrong, but I think he looks for twos more than Tatum would, or more than Horford would, or Porzingis would, Derek White. Like, those guys are really more three-point dominant.
Yeah, where are they at?
Where are they ranking threes?
I'm sorry, they've been passed by Cleveland, but they're still top of the league in three-pointers hucked up. So, to me, that's
was it after last night? What are they at?
They're at 44.2, which 44. Is right behind Cleveland at 45.4.
So like 6 or 7 less than what they were last year.
Yeah, but do you
still
think
still a lot?
But is that playing different, or have the numbers just come down a little bit? That's not. They're not playing. They're not like bottom of the league. They're still number 2 in 3-point.
No, but they weren't going to be bottom of the league.
Right. Because they're not going to change how they play. Shot. They're going to keep hucking it up.
We also have to play to the 3-point line now. That's just the NBA. And with this roster, like guys like Peyton Pritchard and Derek White,
you don't have to because the Rockets are dead last in 3-point attempts, and they're good.
Look, they also have like 4 7-footers.
But I'm saying, but you don't.
They're massive.
Right, but you don't have to play
like
that
the Pistons don't shoot a lot of threes.
For this
the Pistons
roster,
are killing
they do.
It.
Yeah. For this roster, when you're like talking about Derek White, Peyton Pritchard, like Jalen's kind of the lone exception. When you're looking at the scores,
how about
like,
Toronto? How about Toronto?
To play that
I don't like Toronto's roster at all. They're 9-4, 9-5, whatever they are. They're like 6 fewest in threes. Denver doesn't shoot threes. Like that's a lot of good teams
they
that don't shoot
size,
threes.
Size though, the Celtics don't have size. That's the issue. Like you can't. Like, what are they going to do? Like, the floaters with Namir Keita and Luka Garza can only do so much.
Sure. You don't have to play with your back to the basket, but you can go to the basket. You don't have to shoot. What was the possession last night? Was it 3 or 4 straight threes where they just kept grabbing offensive rebounds and kicking it out? And White, to his credit, eventually hit one. But it was like 3 or 4 different cracks at wide open threes as opposed to you have the basketball inside the arc. You are allowed to shoot in there.
And they do. It's just like with this team, most of the time, their best shots are coming from three. Like, that's just how this team is built right now.
Yeah. I expected more out of this whole team, Missoula included. And, you know, that to me is frustrating. But if they continue to turn it around or continue to win games anyway, they've won 3 in a row. If they continue to win games, then that'll change. But right now, that's where I'm at with this team. Pure Hoops with Terp every Wednesday at high noon. Bozo touchdown. Oh, no. Not this week.
Not for Terp.
No,
you're
no,
on timeout, though.
No.
You're just suspended. It doesn't mean you can't come back. It's
we're
like
getting
Jamar
Jackson
Chase.
Pick this week.
Jackson's picking on Friday.
Yeah.
If he gets it right, he'll pick again. If he gets it wrong, we have replacements ready to go.
Oh, next week we'll actually do. Let's do it all Thanksgiving. Parlay.
Oh,
on Wednesday. Let's
good
do it.
Idea.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Great,
let's do that.
Great idea.
No morning games though.
Yeah, no morning. Sadly, games. And no Terp for that. No, but yeah, well,
he'll still, this one out.
He'll still be suspended for that. Terp, good stuff. Check him out at Justin M. Turpin. You can hear him for Pure Hoops at high noon every Wednesday. Terp, good stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. Let's get back to the Red Sox. Not only are they maybe in the mix for Tarik Skubal, according to Jeff Passan, we also, I think, have a pivot plan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
For Alex Bregman. That was Ken Rosenthal.
Do you think he just kicked someone's ass or he was about to? Noted tough man, Ken Rosenthal.
He ran over a camera guy and then mean mugged him. And then the cameras clicked on and he was like,
at him.
He was like, oh, hey, I guess I'm on camera.
I tried to help him up. Nobody saw that. There's no actual proof that I tried to help him up. But I couldn't believe that happened.
Also, what did he call the Boston baseball
Red
team
Sox.
There at the end? The what?
The Red Sox. Rooting for the Red Sox. My goodness.
Don't mock him with that. He'll run you over.
I'm not trying to get in any fights.
The Red Sox should be comfortable.
The Red Sox.
Ordway after a tooth procedure?
After a couple of, yeah.
Let me hear that again. Ken Rosenthal? Again, no offense. We don't want to
fight. The Red Sox should be comfortable.
Oh, it's kind of sexy, too, for lack of a better word. The Red Sox.
Red Sox.
The Red Sox.
And it's the Celtics. Patriots start phase 3 of their offseason program today.
That's the one.
Red Sox take 3 out of 4.
Oh, that one was wet.
Red Sox take 3 out of 4.
Hey, play me Glenn and then let me hear Rosenthal. They were actually pretty close.
Yeah, they are.
Let me hear.
OTAs at Gillette Stadium.
No, give me the one with Glenn saying Red Sox.
Oh, Red Sox.
That's like 1 for 1.
Red Sox take 3 out of 4.
The Red Sox should be calm.
No, his is like way more like.
That's dry.
He's like he's sitting by a fire with a glass of wine poured.
Rosenthal's a lot drier than Ordway. I always said that.
Want to give away a pair of tickets to the Celtics.
Who wins a height off between those two?
Ooh.
If it was an old-fashioned height off.
Got to be Glenn.
I think Glenn.
Got to be Glenn.
12 of those, though, were singles.
It's still one of the greatest days in radio history.
That's a lot of singles.
He had a lot of stuff.
A lot of 12 singles?
Yeah, yeah.
Oof.
A lot of singles.
Right, good stuff there. Rosenthal, though, I want to agree. I agree with like half of what he said.
Sure.
And the other half freaks me out. He's like, oh, well, Twins might not trade Joe Ryan, and if they don't, the Red Sox need to go with a free agent. And my God, I mean, they traded Devers' salary. They need to replace it, go out and sign somebody. Like, I do agree with that. The Red Sox should be spending their money. Agree, 1,000%.
Yeah, like, obviously.
But then I also don't love the options in free agency as much as I like the trade options for a starting pitcher.
Dylan Cease and Bo Bichette versus, like, Joe Ryan, Pete Alonso, or obviously Bregman being back in either one of those scenarios. Like, there is a big, okay, yeah, you did spend money, I guess, and you were sort of forced because these trades weren't able to happen for a pitcher. Like, still, pie in the sky, Tarek Skubal. We'd all be very satisfied with Joe Ryan. And then after that, you're like, I don't know. I mean, I like Dylan Cease. Strikes out a lot of guys. I think he could be good. He's had some really high-end years.
Much prefer him to Framber Valdez.
Yeah.
I think he's, the clear-cut pitcher I would want.
But, yeah, I think there's such a wide range of outcomes for the Red Sox this offseason because there is, like, the best offseason ever imaginable, like Pete Alonso, Tarek Skubal, whatever. But then there's also, well, you got Mackenzie Gore. You did not get Pete Alonso. Joe Ryan didn't get traded. Bregman's gone. You know what I mean? Like, there's like a whole bunch of stuff that can happen. You're like, man, this team was knocking on the door. They were in the playoffs last year. It feels like they're not that far removed from being in the World Series. But just depending on the outcome of 2-3 players this offseason, it's going to be a huge difference.
Bichette, you mentioned that name.
Yeah.
And we'll get to Joe Ryan here in a moment. But Bichette, Brad Foe wrote about this yesterday. He said, according to multiple sources, the Red Sox are showing interest in free agent infielder Bo Bichette.
Okay.
Who happens to be a former teammate of Greg Breslow. I guess they were minor leaguers together.
How is that the case?
I think Breslow was either on a rehab stint or was back in the minors at the end of his career, and Bichette was on the way up.
Craig Breslow's 45? How old is Bichette?
Hang on. They
27?
Yep.
When did they overlap?
They overlapped. Where is it? Don't make me read this whole
story.
Well,
sorry. So he must have been like 18 or something?
Yeah, they overlapped in Double A, I thought it was.
Okay.
The Blue Jays signed current Sox chief baseball officer Craig Breslow to a minor league contract in 2018.
Yeah.
Where they overlapped, Double A New Hampshire, Keith. How about that?
Oh, they were with the Fisher Cats?
Apparently, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a good ballpark right there.
It is.
Yeah, right there on the river.
But that's a name that you've brought up many times. Very interesting.
Bichette, yes.
I feel like you've been bringing that name up for a long period of time.
All around
and now
that
Bradfo
one.
Says they're in.
Yeah. Huh. Although I wonder if he truly is an infielder or if he's also just a DH.
Well,
we'll see.
He's a middle infielder is how Passan referred to him, but then Passan's like, he's not playing shortstop.
No.
So he's either second or maybe third or perhaps a full-time DH. But Passan did say teams are looking at him at shortstop. Not every team.
No.
But there are still teams considering him at shortstop where he was bad defensively last year.
If they can't get a pitcher, would you be okay loading up with bats, or would you just say, like, you needed the pitcher?
I mean, I think they need bats more than an arm, so I guess my answer would be, yeah, I guess I'd be okay loading up with
like
bats.
Like Bregman, Alonso, Bichette, just get all those guys?
Right, like something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I would be more okay with that than missing out on the bat and overcompensating with pitching.
Yeah.
Justin is in D.C. on Joe Ryan. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, gentlemen, it sounds like Joe Ryan is not going to move based on Passan's report about the Twins fantastically having two aces, which they don't. They probably don't even have one. And then Ken Rosenthal's report, too. So I have kind of two interrelated questions for you. Number one, Craig Breslow focused on the trade deadline 2025 on a guy who probably was never available. So does that impact how you view his stunning incompetence when it comes to everything outside of the offseason? And then number two, in baseball, typically you evaluate a front office with going into the season with a roster and then a contending team like the Mariners, like the Blue Jays, like everybody we saw this season goes out and drastically improves that team at the trade deadline. Craig Breslow, we've seen for 2 years in a row, drastically makes our team worse at the deadline. So does that give you a curve for how you should grade his offseason this year?
Yeah, I mean, the Blue Jays drastically improved at the trade deadline.
They added a Cy Young winner. And Shane Bieber, who was lights out in the playoffs. Well, yes, they did drastically improve.
No, he was lights out for one start in the World Series. I mean, I'll give that to him, but he had an ERA over four entering that last start. He had one very, very good start. You're not wrong about that. But I don't think that was a crazy massive addition for them, Justin. And no, now if they don't get Joe Ryan, I blame Breslow for that.
Well, if Joe Ryan goes somewhere else.
No, he said, I'm sorry.
That's what different. If Ryan doesn't
move, I got to blame Breslow for Ryan not moving. I get what he's saying. Like, he was too preoccupied with a piece that was never going to move.
Yeah.
But I think I read Passan's story differently than he did. He said the Twins are definitely moving one of Ryan or Lopez. Now, he might, meaning the caller, Justin, might think it's more likely that Lopez moves.
But
he might be
also,
right. But, like, I don't think it's crazy to say Joe Ryan might move. I mean, that's what Passan wrote.
Yeah, yeah. And if he moves and if he goes somewhere else and you find out what the asking price was and they weren't willing to do it, then that's something you kill him for. That felt more like a Heim Bloom thing where he was just afraid to deal the prospects. Mm-hmm. I don't think Breslow's afraid to deal the prospects. I mean, he traded Kyle Teal. Now he got Garrett Crochet in return, but Kyle Teal for some might have been like, oh, you got to hang on to this guy. He's the future, blah, blah, blah. So he's able to move him. But yeah, like if Joe Ryan doesn't get dealt and the Twins are just like, oh, nope, we're keeping him and we're going to, you know, try to win the Central or whatever, like, I'm not going to lose my mind. But you can't then be like, all right, let's go get Dustin May. You know, there's a big difference between, hey, Joe Ryan didn't get dealt, but you still want a pitcher, identify a pitcher, and you get some scrub. You got to go out and get somebody good. Now, whether that means Dylan Cease or whether that means Mackenzie Gore or another trade, you better have a plan B, C, and D.
Yeah, I'm looking over, a couple of different things. I mean, if Ryan doesn't move, I don't blame Breslow for that. If Ryan moves somewhere else, then we'll probably blame Breslow for that. And trust me, I'm ready to blame Breslow with some of the things I'm hearing this offseason. Like, if it's Bregman or Alonso, I hate that. If
the best
landing is like Mackenzie Gore, I don't like that either. Looking over Bieber, though, people way overrate Bieber. Bieber had one awesome game against the Dodgers.
Yeah, he was really good in the playoffs. In
5 1/3. No, he's really good in like one start.
Okay, one start.
He also lost the final. He's the one who lost Game 7. He gave up the home run that lost Game 7. He had two other outings that went less than four innings, and he had an okay start against Seattle, 6 runs, 2 earned. But he also went 3 2/3, 2 earned, 2 2/3, 2 earned. With 3 runs in that first game against the Yankees. Like, he was not...
Yeah.
I mean, he was a Cy Young winner. He was also hurt when they acquired him. Like, I think... Look, other teams... Seattle added at the deadline and had an awesome deadline. If you want to tell me they did a ton to help their team at the deadline, I agree. I wouldn't overrate what the Blue Jays did at the trade deadline.
Because that was a name at the moment when it came out. You were like, oh, should the Red Sox have gotten him? And you're like,
yeah, he was fine.
Like, I liked the guys that the Mariners got. I was like, oh, the Mariners in real time, it felt like, helped themselves, and they did.
They absolutely loaded up.
No, the other one was more of a, all right, well, that's a contending team that made a move.
The Padres, like, loaded up at the trade deadline. Yeah. They win, but those are teams that went all out at the deadline, not the Blue Jays. They added a hurt pitcher. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on the Red Sox. You're going to hear Mike Vrabel in the 1 o'clock hour live from Foxborough as the Patriots get set to take on the Bengals this weekend. And on the way next, we haven't gotten to this yet, Keith, although I did hear listening to Greg and Ninkovich and everybody else talking about it this morning. Bill Belichick, maybe his lowest moment yet. We'll do that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So that was Tom Pelissero over the weekend, I think. On Bill Belichick. Guys,
yeah,
I don't want the Giants job.
Stop asking me about it.
Please stop asking me. I have no interest in any NFL jobs.
Leave me alone.
If you wanted me to go to the NFL,
you missed.
Drop dead. I'm not doing it. Okay, so that was Bill earlier in the week.
I did not see where this was going to go, but with Bill Belichick, Keith, I guess you should always expect the unexpected.
I guess.
This was making the rounds. This is another one. I feel like I say this in almost every Belichick story where I'm like, I thought this was fake when it first happened.
They all seem fake, but it's realer than real.
An individual, Adam Kessel,
yep,
on Twitter.
Good get by Adam Kessel.
Great get.
Mm-hmm.
Related to Phil, you think?
Probably.
Gotta be.
Phil and Matt.
And, yes, Matt
Kessel.
Kessel, exactly.
Played for the Pats in 08.
Stefan.
Kessel.
Yeah, you're a good player.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick spotted at cheerleading competition in Raleigh.
Nice.
Supporting his girlfriend, Jordan, who is a member of a co-ed adult cheerleading team. And then they have Bill sitting there in his hoodie, chatting it up with God knows who, and what appears to be an adult cheerleading team, in like full-on sparkly outfits. And, yeah, Jordan is standing there with her resting face.
This is wild.
I don't even want to be around anymore.
I mean, this is wild. So I'm not even diminishing cheerleading, right? If you want to be a cheerleader, great. Enjoy yourself. You know, the college teams, pro teams, they all have cheerleaders. That's awesome. What is this now? Co-ed adult cheerleading?
Correct.
So, like, as somebody who has played in co-ed basketball, brag, and co-ed softball, I get, like, college is over, but you still want a little bit of the competition. You still want to play. You still want to stay in shape. So, God bless you if you want to do that. But can you imagine, like, bringing your wife to see you play slow-pitch softball? Can you imagine?
No.
Like, hey, Katie,
well,
I got
a championship game, you know?
Katie, I got a softball game. You want to come watch me drink beers and,
Katie,
like, fly out to left?
Hey, Kat, it's the championship game, though. Yeah.
Can you come to the basketball game where I'm going to get real tired?
Let me ask you, though, the reverse, Paul Brown, if you will.
Yeah.
Let me ask you another way.
Mm-hmm.
What if your wife has something like that that is important to her that she wants you to go to? You can't not go.
I guess you have to go.
You have to go.
But I'm trying to think what that would be.
No, I don't know what the equivalent would be. Your intramural beer league softball, that's a great comp.
Yeah.
What would it be? Like, I have no idea. But if Kat wanted me to go, you have to go. You can't not. That's World War III if you don't go.
I guess.
So, like, I don't even know what it would be.
Are you here to support your daughter or your granddaughter? No, that's my girlfriend out there. Like, that's the other thing. That's what's also a little bit different about this compared to some of the other scenarios that we have. I mean, God bless her. She wants to keep cheerleading. But I also don't, like, what are you cheering for?
I agree with you. God, if she wants to do it, go ahead. Text line says it's more embarrassing for her. I don't know if it's more embarrassing for her.
Kind of.
Bill has to be miserable. It's more embarrassing that she asked or more embarrassing that she's doing it? Oh, maybe that she asked. That's fine.
I think that she asked. Because like I said, people all have hobbies. I'm not going to make fun of everybody's hobbies. So, like, if she wants to keep cheering, it's just in her soul that she needs to cheer, go ahead, knock yourself out. But to be like, hey, Bill, can you come support me with this? Can you come? Like, he's like, why don't I support you from a distance? Right. Like, what?
Do you think he's recruiting at this thing?
He's probably looking around. Who's like?
Oh,
good.
He's definitely looking around. But is he recruiting?
That
I don't know.
A problem.
The man's looking around based on his track record.
No, but it is weird because in the same scenario, like if we're playing intramural sports, I wouldn't be like, "Hey, can you please come see this?" In fact, if they were like, "Hey, do you want me to come see?" I'd be like, "No, do not show up to this.
You enjoy your night.
It's me. Yeah, do anything else.
It's me and the fellas. I like this. Hey, come watch me fly out to left." Like,
that was me.
That's basically what it was.
That's what I said.
I was getting some ground outs. I was getting some ground outs in there.
That's all I did. No, I was like, I pull it right to left.
You were ripping it to left?
Yeah, just fly outs. Just like can of corn.
If she asked him to go, that is embarrassing.
No, it is.
I don't think it's
just, but because also she's not taking into account how awkward it is for him.
Yeah.
Legendary coach Bill Belichick in like a tiny little gym standing there watching dudes and ladies in their 30s and 40s cheer. What are they cheering for?
But we brought this up before. She thinks her cheerleading rings are like on par with his Super Bowl rings.
Same thing. They're the same thing.
Like that is what she thinks.
I know.
When they renamed the boat, we initially thought it was like for marriage. They were getting engaged. No. It turns out she has a national championship cheerleading ring.
Right.
So she thinks it's on par. Because you know what happens? If Bill doesn't go to her adult co-ed cheerleading competition,
she's like, well, I'm
Raleigh,
not going to North Carolina game.
Correct.
And he's like, good. His son's like, that might be a start, Dad.
Maybe
we start with that. Maybe stay home.
But this is where I do think this is a new low point for Bill. And like, if you're in a relationship, I think you kind of have to do it. But this is one where you go, what am I really doing with
this? Well, because like there's
hopefully this is the wake up call, like the cold dose of reality to Bill, where he's sitting at some I don't even know what level of like gymnasium in Raleigh.
I would think this is where you have like the minor league wrestling events.
Some high school, some church basement in Raleigh.
He's a big divider in the middle, so the kids can play soccer next door.
Right, he's already gone to like Adult Miss Maine.
There's a dodgeball game going on as we speak.
This is sadder than Adult Miss Maine.
Yeah, it is. That was also kind of
But this is worse.
This is worse. And like there's all those, because people are taking pictures and snapping these pictures. Like there's the one of him like sleeping, you know, waiting for an airplane. Like, what are you going to do? You got to fly, so whatever. There's also one where they're at an event together, and he looks like he doesn't want to be there. But you're like, all right, they're there together, and that's what they want to do. It's almost like going to see a movie. This is different. This is like, I'm still supporting my cheerleading girlfriend.
Yeah.
Very odd.
You see what she tweeted today? Again, this is allegedly Jordan Hudson on Twitter.
We think it is, but yeah, we don't know for sure. But basically,
Schefter follows her. Maybe he's been duped.
It's happened before.
Pablo Torre finds out, tweeted out that Pablo Torre has been named one of the best shows and best episodes of 2025 by Apple Podcasts. They then said, we couldn't do this without all you sickos.
Yep.
Okay. Nice. She quote tweeted that and said, you're welcome.
How about that?
Allegedly.
I guess so. She's like, you're welcome for your podcast success. Great. It is the story that keeps on giving.
Hopefully he does a deep dive on this like he did on Miss Maine. Like, hopefully he gets in the weeds on this adult cheerleading competition.
He did tweet her back and said, standing open invitation to come on the show.
Oh, he did.
She won't.
No, she won't.
She'll
talk your ear off.
She's off the air, off the record. Yeah, that was that story.
Yeah, that was with Charlotte Wilder and whoever else.
Yeah. Nice. They talk forever off air. Nice.
Okay, well, that's the latest on Bill. Hopefully this is the cold dose of reality where he says, what am I doing here? I'm in college football at adult,
it's got to be
co-ed cheerleading events for my 25-year-old girl. What have I done with
my
life?
It's got to be the Ben Affleck meme when he's promoting Batman v Superman. It's like, hello, darkness, my old friend. And he's just like staring off into space. Like, how is that not Bill?
Any Ben Affleck J-Lo meme where he's standing there with Dunkin' Donuts and a cigarette.
That's true. He is all Ben Affleck memes.
That is
wrapped up into one.
Oh, that should be BillBelichick.com.
Bill Belichick.
Gifts of Ben Affleck instead
ben
of
Affleck Ben Affleck gifts. That'd be a better website. That would be a better website. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. Mike Vrabel scheduled to speak shortly from Foxborough. You'll hear it live next here on Jones and Keefe.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.